welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Recording. Okay, hello, welcome to episode 380, take 2 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and my good pal Sean Orford. How are you doing, Sean?
I'm very good, and I'm no longer delayed, so I'm good.
You answered my question instantly. Fantastic. Yeah. I'm happy to report. In the good old days, it used to be like my computer was the problem, but this time it's your internet connection, isn't it?
Yeah, it's because there's too many people in here online, so we're just losing the bandwidth.
Yeah.
Is the issue.
It's quite fascinating, really. I mean, how reliant we are. You know, there's this work from home revolution underway, but even for those that weren't, well, people won't know what we've just been through, slow connection. There was a real delay on me and Sean talking to each other, and that like 2-3 second delay is just an absolute nightmare to work with, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, you spend the rest of your life trying to edit out the silences, wouldn't you?
Yeah. So we're not talking about working from home specifically, although it might crop up once or twice. We're talking about how we define ourselves through our work and through what we do and who we are, and whether that is an accurate definition, or what is an accurate definition of the definition of self. We'll come on to that shortly. Liveinthepresent.co.uk for all the show notes and links as ever. Do drop us a line if there's anything you would like us to discuss in an upcoming episode. And if you could leave us a review, possibly talking about how fantastic the audio connection is between and that would be much obliged. If you go on iTunes or Apple Music, whatever it is, and leave us a review, that'd be cool.
That'd be good.
How's your cough, Sean? How's the come down from your positive test?
I am getting better. There's a mate of mine who's a herbalist, Alan, and he's given me some pretty wild potions to take, which have been clearing my chest, which is good. Mm-hmm. I also thought it would be good to shout out for Den, because, you know, Den, who's a bit older, and he was quite poorly anyway and then got the virus and was in hospital. And we all kind of held our breath thinking, oh, my God, how's he going to get on? And they've let him out of the hospital now. They're telling him that, you know, it's going to take him maybe several months to get better. But he's actually out and at it, which is good. It's great. So good shout out for Den. Well done, Den.
Yeah. Well in. Good job, Den. Keep it going, mate. Very good. I was meeting with a catch up with a pal the other night. The weather's been great. So we sat in a pub garden and had a catch up, and he works in healthcare and has done for decades. And he was telling me about some of the guys he's met on his travels recently, and speaking to people that the kind of the long-term implications of this virus are not to be sniffed at. So, you know, it's not something that you just get and it goes away in a few days. It can linger for quite a long time, can't it?
Yeah. The phrase they're using, the medics that I'm working with are using, is that this virus has got a tail, and the tail can come back and bite you if you're not careful. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Tail bite. bad joke there. It's strange, isn't it? Things are going back to normal, inverted commas. But I've been back into my office a few times in the last week and a half, which is cool. But still, there's that little sense of trepidation out there in the world, isn't there? Or big sense, actually, as we head into winter.
Weird,
strange times. But
we don't know what's going to happen, do we?
We do not know, and I think it's important to recognise that before we go on about what we're going to talk about, because we're in uncharted territory, aren't we? So don't just listen to what me and Sean are saying, you know, use your own ears and eyes and kind of judge the situation and try and make your way through as best you can. But what's triggered this episode, Sean? You've done a blog post about self and identity, so what made you come up with this?
Well, it does actually start with lockdown. In a way, I mean, we know that people define themselves by what they do. If you say to somebody, who are you? They don't give you a description of their personality or the fact they're male or female. They give you a list of the roles that they play. And that's how we define ourselves. Now, I see people over the years, I've seen loads of people appoint to redundancy, job change, retirement, go into crisis because they lose their sense of self. Like, who am I? You know, I'm not anybody because I haven't got any roles to play. But what I'm starting to pick up from people that are working from home online, particularly, is the same kind of stuff. It's like there's, it's like a flat depression that people are starting to share with me about feeling that they aren't anybody anymore. I'm a nobody. And I'm saying, but you've got your role that you play and stuff like that. But then they're starting to talk about they're not having any social interactions. They're not interacting with other people and just feel like an isolated machine stuck in a room somewhere.
You know? Yeah. I mean, I worked from home for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Way back when, and I kind of got used to it. But yeah, especially in autumn and winter, I guess you'd probably call it kind of a kind of a light dose of depression that would set in, because there would be periods where there would be three or four days would go by when I literally wouldn't leave our apartment. And, you know, my wife would go out in the morning, she's a teacher. She's a teacher. Get that? That's what she does. That's what defines her. And she would come back at whatever, 4 or 5 o'clock. Yeah. To kind of, well, rescue me from the isolation. So it's quite serious stuff. And me personally, I have been going back into the office in the last couple of weeks, because now that my wife's at work full time, my kids are in school, the house is quiet, eerily quiet, apart from the guinea pigs squeaking away every now and again in the kitchen, or in the just beyond the kitchen there. So we're drifting a little bit maybe, but this mad experiment we're running at the moment, where everyone's role in life is up in the air. It needs to be carefully thought out, doesn't it? How we react to it all.
Yeah. And the thing is that if this is going to go on, and this is the scary bit for me, is that the people I'm working with that are doing the online work, and it's particularly people that are meeting with one person at a time, rather than groups of people on Zoom or something like that, is that they're being told by their employers that they won't be coming back into the office until at least January. And some people have been told March. Now, that means that for them, they're already feeling a bit desperate, and suddenly they've got this huge space opening out in front of them that they've got to fill up somehow. And people are starting to kind of worry about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which can be quite tough.
You can, yeah. I mean, at the start of every podcast we put out, years ago I paid for the girl that does the intro through our service to record that 10-15 second intro, which is kind of, it defines you as a psychotherapist and me as an entrepreneur. We should probably, I wonder if we should get a new intro done. I mean, I guess I am quite entrepreneurial in a kind of failed kind of way, but...
I could become a Greek god, maybe.
Yeah. No, but I remember when we recorded that, or when I sent the wording off to be recorded, we put quite a lot of time into, I wanted to keep it short and snappy. But at the same time, even then I struggled to define myself in terms of, you know, I'm a designer and I've set up businesses in the past but I'm an entrepreneur, maybe. That was kind of the best thing I could think of at the time. Do you define yourself as a psychotherapist mainly still?
It's really weird, that, because I'm in so many situations, have been over the years, where I'm trying not to be having a professional aura. I mean, okay, we need to have professionalism. But I would go, when I'm in the NHS, I'd go into meetings with the other consultants. They'd all be wearing their... pinstripes and waistcoats and all that kind of stuff. And I go in a pair of jeans and a T-shirt, and they kind of look at me like, what the hell are you doing dressed like that? But the thing that I find is that when you do what I do, if you play the role and you look like you are a doctor, people treat you like a doctor. Whereas if you're just Sean in a pair of jeans and a T-shirt, then you're Sean. And people are much more open and relaxed in that easy kind of setting. There'll be some people that want to have an authority figure and prefer someone in a suit and tie. But overall, I'm trying to kind of downplay who I am all the time. I'm just Sean, And I have to use words like, you know, counsellor, psychotherapist, psychologist, you know, and like I say, some people insist on calling me doctor. And it's like, no, stop it. It's I'm just Sean. You know? It's a hard one, though.
Yeah.
So it goes both ways, doesn't it? People are going to look at you and they're going to see you and put things onto you in a way. Is how they see you, how they think you ought to be, rather than who you are.
Yeah. I mean, it's possible, I guess, isn't it, to have multiple versions of ourselves as well? And it's not just possible, it's almost, you know, I'm constantly trying to rejig the social media description, my profile, to kind of try and best explain who I am and what I do.
Yeah. So,
I mean, on Instagram, which is mainly for family only, you know, I'm just Ed. So I'm, you know, I think I've put richest man in the world there just for an hour. But Twitter's a bit different, and LinkedIn especially. So LinkedIn is obviously quite a professional social network, you know, for where business people in suits hang out and discuss serious things. You know, in terms of business, I'm a web designer and graphic designer. But at the same time, I'm trying to get this other business going, which has got an environmental slant. And that's caused not conflict isn't the right word recently, but I had a meeting with a new client just before things kicked off. And they've been on my LinkedIn, and they wanted to know how serious I was about design still, because my LinkedIn is starting to lean now towards environmental work and cycling and all that kind of stuff. And I took the time to explain my life. It's like how, you know, I'm trying to develop that obsession. But at the same time, I'm still making a living from tweaking people's websites and you know, making the odd leaflet here and there as well. So tailoring my social media profile is quite interesting. And, I wonder what people listening to this, if they pay the same attention to what their little, you know, profile says about them on Twitter, on LinkedIn or on Facebook.
Maybe you need to change your title to be being a humane designer or something like that.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, Twitter in particular, it's interesting how a certain social media channel can start to define you. So on Twitter recently, I've developed, I'm a sort of low-level C-list cycling celebrity on there, because whenever I post a photo of my lad, Will, having cycled somewhere or done some achievement on his bike, and post a photo with it, it'll kick off. And recently I've just had like 60,000 views for a photo of him, because he cycled around the world at the weekend, did 35 miles in a few hours, dead easy, you know, because it is easy when you know how to do it. But you know, it kicked off online, and then, so I'm kind of on Twitter now. I got a lot of new followers from that. So I feel a bit of a need to be a cyclist. You know, I'm the cyclist on Twitter, whereas there's a lot more to me than just cycling, I like to think.
So, but can't you incorporate the design and the humanity and the cycling together? You know, if you're going to come, you know, because if we're going to define ourselves by labels, you know, I mean, I hate being a psychologist, because to me, psychology is like a kind of a cold science, whereas to be a psychotherapist is more human. But even that doesn't describe what I do, because of my interest in the whole kind of Ayurvedic world and things that are outside of the Western psychological mind. Then I end up having to describe myself as things like an Ayurvedic psychologist. Or I've even, at one point, for one thing, I did describe myself as a spiritual psychologist, which was really weird, you know. And it's like, how do you, if someone says, who are you, how do you come up with a phrase or a saying that actually describes what you feel you are?
Mm. Yeah, you know? It's mad, isn't it? I mean, my wife's a teacher, so... She is a teacher, you know, and what do you do? It's a really easy answer. I'm a teacher. So, and then you dive deeper and, you know, what year do you teach? What age kids, blah, blah, blah. How long have you been doing it? But she's a teacher. So for teachers, and I guess doctors as well, and lots of other professions, it's quite easy. But we're living in this world now, aren't we, where as we work from home more, some of us, or a good chunk of us, and that kind of becomes a habit, and towns and cities kind of realign, and office spaces kind of divvied up and repurposed maybe. We're going to have this in the next 5-10 years, a real, quite profound realignments of how we define ourselves, I think. Would you
agree? Yeah. I see it happening right now, because like I'm saying, the people that I'm working with, many of them are actually feeling like, I don't know who I am and where I fit in anymore. Mm. You know what I mean? And that sense about people only just now beginning to realize how important their relationships with other people have been. And those are the things that they're losing. And there's something about, I think we see ourselves in other people's eyes. You know, you walk into an office or whatever, and other people's eyes tell you something about your value and who you are, and it's the greeting. But wow. If you're not getting that, then that sense of self can be out the window. You know, where's it gone? Where is it?
Yeah, it's really quite profound, this stuff, the more you think about it, isn't it? And I mean, I can't figure out what the short or long-term implications will be. But I guess at the root of it, how we define ourselves, what is, I'm trying to put into words, how should we define ourselves? Is it as simple as just by our names, or is even that too simplistic?
I think that it's useful to play this kind of game. Imagine that a Martian has landed, so they know nothing about human beings, and they say to you, who are you? You know, what kinds of things would you include in who you are? Would it be gender? Would it be race? Would it be orientation? Would it be profession? Would it be your ideals, your hopes, your dreams? And maybe to sit down and think about it and write yourself a page or a kind of a paragraph. If I was going to describe me to a total stranger who didn't even understand human beings, what would I write down? And then you might get some kind of insight as to how you really see yourself. Well, what's happening at the moment is the people that are being stuck at home that I'm working with, it's like someone's punctured their balloon and it's gradually letting out air and it's becoming kind of flat and there's no kind of bounce point. And in that, their bounce point was, you know, bouncing into the office, they do a bit of work, and then they say, hey, do you want to go and have a cup of coffee? They go down the canteen and have a cup of coffee, that kind of thing. And they'd shoot the breeze and interact, go back and do some more work. And those kinds of things aren't happening. And people are beginning to realize that a lot of their identity has been tied up in those social interactions that aren't there anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, big time.
And when you're doing social interactions at work, you're taking a break from the pressure of work. You get into a kind of a natural stress management function that doesn't happen if you're clapped to a screen all day long.
Indeed. This plays right into the stuff that I think a lot about anyway, which is, this is like beyond the bicycle stuff. It's about how bikes are a focal point for getting to know our communities better and having a better role in communities, because we kind of, our cars have kind of locked us and shut us out from the world. Whereas if you walk or you cycle somewhere, you can smell the place, you can hear noises better, you can say hello to people far easier, and you're a part of a place, you know. So I go on about bikes so much, not because of necessarily things about air pollution or safety or the health that you get from it. It's about that connection with the community, which brings you back to how we define ourselves and our roles in our communities.
But also how we manage our mental health as well.
Yes.
We're designed to be group animals. We're designed to interact in troops. You know, we're just chimpanzees without the hair. And the issue about living in these little isolated blocks, sometimes one person on their own or two people on their own, is not how we are naturally designed to be.
Mm.
So it does create all kinds of deficits in people.
Yeah, it's mad. I mean, How do we help people to start to understand themselves? Or is this as simple as just getting a sheet of A4 paper and or any size paper, and starting to write down who we are and how we define ourselves first? And then, because we also have the ability to redefine ourselves, don't we? And kind of create new versions of ourselves at any moment we want.
I think that in terms of exercises that I do with people, I get them to write down a description of themselves 10 years ago, a description of themselves right now, and a description of how they'd like to be in 10 years' time.
Wow.
So there is that kind of progression. You know, where have I been? And how have I been got from where I was to where I am now? How can I get from where I am to where I want to be in the future? Yeah, that kind of thing. And if you are really brave, and it does take a certain bravery to do it that we've done on the courses, is that if you say to other people around you, how do you experience me? Could you write down an honest piece of paper about how you see me? You know, scars and all, warts and all, everything just there. And just share with me how you see me. That way you get a really good view of yourself. In when they do that in Mantra, they call it a 360-degree review, where you get people around you to say how they experience you. So you got that set against your own experience of yourself.
Wow, that's quite profound stuff, especially having the guts to ask someone else how they experience you.
And asking them to be honest, not just telling you the good stuff.
There's a blog post I'm going to link to in the as my resource of the week, which is zenthinking.net, which talks about how you define yourselves and kind of leads you along on a little path to redefining yourself if you think that's necessary. I'm not saying this in the sense of the kind of corny, you can be anything you want to be, you know, you can achieve anything, which, you know, you can technically, but we do have the ability to redefine and recreate ourselves at any point. Is quite powerful when you've kind of understood that, I would say.
Yeah, but I think that one of the issues I'm looking at with these particular people I've been working with, it's not kind of defining who you want to be. It's like trying to kind of redefine who you are, because they've lost it. You know, who the hell am I? Where's it gone? And it's that bit. It's getting that bit back. You know, then that's kind of stage one, I guess, and then stage two is like, okay, where do you want to get to? But that sense of realizing that so much of the way that we experience ourselves is reflected in other things. It's reflected in where we shop, in the clothes we wear, in the amount of money we got, the house we live in, the car we drive, all that kind of stuff. And if you take those things away from us that we've been relying on, then it makes us have to re-examine that sense of self. You know, who the hell am I then?
Yeah, fascinating. What's your resource of the week, Sean?
What I've put down as a resource is a little site where it's a pop science site where it tells you about how can you make video calls better. How can you know if you're going to do these video calls? How can we get into it? I've listed some things down on my blog post. Like, have you ever thought of playing some music in the background whilst you're talking to somebody? You know, what about changing the background? You don't have to always sit in the same place. You can go and sit in other places. You go and do it in the garden. You know, there's all kinds of things that you can do. And it's where you place the camera so people can see more of you. Because when you're just looking at someone's head and someone's shoulders, and if you look at a Zoom shot and you've got hundreds of people all sat there being heads and shoulders, that's not how we interact with people. We can see their arms and their legs and their hands, and people express themselves with their hands and their feet. You can see people that are irritated, their feet start twitching or the knee goes up and down, you know, as they're getting agitated. Well, you can't see that on the Zoom shot, so you're not getting this real experience of people.
I just texted it to you earlier on, and I'll put it in the show notes. There's a funny tweet doing the rounds where a lady has, she's done that. She's shown the Zoom view, and that people are seeing when she's on the news or when she's, you know, in meetings. And then she's got a husband or someone she lives with to take a photo of the zoomed out view of the chaos actually around her. And, you know, she's sat in her knickers and a pair of trainers, and there's just toys all around the place. So maybe, you know. Maybe the things we put in the background of our video chats can also be little talking points and conversation pieces, can't they? About, I know some politicians have been busted for having certain books in their bookshelves that maybe they didn't really want people to see, but maybe you can put things back there that might get people to kind of learn a bit more about you, whether it's something on your shelf and people might say, oh, what's that all about? And, oh yeah, I didn't know you were into that kind of thing. So.
Yeah. Apparently yesterday Apple did one of their announcement things, but they couldn't do it like they normally do. So you had the boss guy doing presentations, but they were dropping different green screens behind him.
Oh, right.
So he was doing different places, which is quite interesting because is it Zoom? You can put a different backdrop behind you.
Yeah.
A green screen. But
I've got a Peppa Pig one that I was using for one of my niece. She loves Peppa Pig.
But maybe we need to get into the idea of a bit of fun. If we're going to be using this medium for the next 6 months, or, you know, worst scenario, another year, and that's, we're going to be limited to that, we need to really start to work it. You know, start to think about when you go in front of the camera, it's like going on stage. You know, and actually prepare yourself for it. Maybe you do something different with your hair, or you wear different clothes, or you do something that makes it feel different for you, but also the other people that you're talking to.
Cool. All right. And and make sure you've got a decent broadband connection as well. All right, cool. Sean, you happy? Anything else?
Yeah, no, I'm good. I am good. I shall try and get another walk in today, get my lungs working properly.
Get it all going, get back up to speed. All right. Yeah, hopefully at some point we can, I can zoom by and we can do one in the garden or vice versa, and we can meet up again soon, hopefully.
Yeah. Fingers crossed.
Cool. All right. Thanks, everyone. Livingthepresent.co.uk. All the show notes and links, and get in touch with us online if there's anything you'd like to discuss. Sean, you have a good week. I'll catch you next week.
You take care. See you now. Bye. Bye.